morning is Freedom From Religion Foundation versus County of Lehigh, number 17-3581. Mr. Baxter.
Your Honors, may it please the Court, Eric Baxter on behalf of Appellant Lehigh County, Pennsylvania. I'd like to reserve 5 minutes of my time for rebuttal.
Granted.
Your Honors, as the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals recognized just last week in its new Doe Child decision, the Supreme Court's 2014 Town of Greece decision fundamentally changes the way that courts must analyze Establishment Clause claims.
Why should we focus on Town of Greece, which is a legislative prayer case, instead of the Supreme Court's decisions in Van Orden v. Perry and McCreary County versus ACLU, which are display cases? Isn't this more of a display case than a legislative prayer case?
Well, first, under either line of cases, the county should prevail. But Town of Greece, the court in all of those cases has relied equally. For example, in Lynch, the court relied on Marsh, which was the early legislative prayer case. And in all of these cases, the court treats the same cases involving a government acknowledgement of religion, whether it be by allowing prayer, legislative prayer, having chapels in government buildings, and paid chaplains, recognition of religious holidays.
But the court hasn't always, high court hasn't, nor this court, hasn't always treated these expressions of religiosity the same, right? Context has mattered. For example, schools, it's treated one way. Displays, it's treated a different way. So what's our framework here? It's Town of Greece. It's not Van Orden and McCreary County.
Again, under both lines of cases, the county should prevail. But we would urge the court to apply the Town of Greece because there are four reasons why Town of Greece specifically should apply here. First, there the court announced that it was reinstating the historic test in all Establishment Clause cases. It said the Establishment Clause must be understood in light of historic practices and understanding. He went on to say this is not an exception for legislative prayer, that any test under the Establishment Clause that is adopted must acknowledge practices that the framers accepted and that have withstood the critical test of time and political scrutiny.
How is that a sea change than looking at purpose under Lemon or looking at endorsement and considering the perspective of the reasonable observer, which the court has always said takes account of this omniscient observer understanding historical context?
So we know that Town of Greece does away with that test because Kennedy specifically cited to his dissent in Allegheny where he said the endorsement test, at least to the extent the endorsement test has as its touchstone the idea that that a violation occurs when non-adherents are made to feel like outsiders. He says if that is the touchstone of the endorsement test, that test is inconsistent with an historic understanding because there's a long history of historic practices that would all violate that endorsement test. And so Kennedy makes a, plaintiffs make an argument that Town of Greece doesn't overturn Lemon v. Kurtzman, which there is no explicit overturning of the case. But the Lemon test, as we understand it, which developed in the context of Lynch and Allegheny, that test has, that gloss on the Lemon test has been done away with by Justice Kennedy's reliance on his Allegheny dissent and his specific decision that offense is no longer sufficient to satisfy that test.
He talks there and goes on beyond the initial broad introductory statement to look at the specific practices. And as Judge Hardiman was pointing out, the practices at issue in that case are in the nature of the sorts of public prayer that the court has consistently treated in a somewhat different way, focusing on their impeccable historical credentials, looking back to the time of the framers. That's not the test that the court has applied in the context of looking at passive displays, which is at least arguably what we have before us here.
So it's not what the court did. It is what the court did in Lynch. The court applied a historical analysis that broadly looked at practices that were acceptable at the time of the framing. Practices that are much more religious than what happened in this case, which is really just a historical recognition, not an encouragement to religion, like even the so-called ceremonial deistic practices. But in Lynch, the court said, we're going to uphold the Christmas display because of and a whole list of things that included paid chaplains, chapels in buildings, recognition of religious holidays, like Christmas and Thanksgiving, invocations by presidents for prayer, God save this honorable court, in God we trust, under God in the pledge. The court looked broadly at all of those factors to demonstrate that the display at issue in Lynch was no more likely to cause an establishment than any of those practices. It was only in Allegheny when the court adopted Justice O'Connor's concurrence from Lynch where this gloss of the endorsement test was laid over it, which the court applied there. It didn't apply in Van Orden. And then Justice
Kennedy... Well, she was in the minority of Van Orden.
Well, correct, right. But the majority did not apply it. And Justice Kennedy, now in Town of Greece, has said in all Establishment Clause cases, you must look to this historic analysis, and offense is not enough. So that there can't be the there cannot be a non-adherence made to feel like outsiders test that when offense is never sufficient to establish an.
Justice Kennedy there also goes on to discuss the reasonable observer and to do an analysis of the perspective of the reasonable observer, citing Justice O'Connor's concurrence in Lynch, citing Salazar, citing Santa Fe. That discussion does not suggest that those are being overruled, at least not so clearly that as a court of appeals we can say that we are going to disregard what still appears to be, until the Supreme Court clearly tells us otherwise, a viable Supreme Court precedent. Isn't that right?
Well, two responses. First, Justice Kennedy clearly is trying not to draw an extreme line here. He acknowledges even in his Allegheny dissent, he says, I wouldn't mind the endorsement test as long as it produced results that were consistent with the historical practices and understanding. But he says the endorsement test, as it's understood, non-adherence made to feel like outsiders, does not meet that test. So if the court wants to look through the eyes of a reasonable observer, Kennedy is saying the reasonable observer has to look at what was understood within the historical practices and understandings. So, and then I think your second question was, which line again applies? The Supreme Court and this court in its Extreme Associates case, for example, said that you look to the cases that are most directly applicable. Well, even if you apply Lynch and Van Orden, those both applied essentially historical analysis. And, I mean, Van Orden did it, Justice Breyer in that case didn't look to the Lemon test at all, said Lemon is not applicable here. And instead he looked to the text, the history, and the context.
Right, that's the problem that Van Orden and McCreary are decided on the same day.
Right.
And so if we think that those are the most closely analogous cases, but they're on the same day and one applied Lemon, one didn't, what's your argument for why we go with the one that didn't apply Lemon and not the one that did?
Well, again, so between Van Orden and McCreary?
Stated another way, I'm very interested in Judge Bevis' question and more interested in your answer. Is this case more like Van Orden or more like McCreary County, and why?
Okay, well, this case is definitely in line with Van Orden, not McCreary. McCreary was simply a purpose test, which Justice Breyer distinguished because of its short and stormy history, involved a monument or a plaque that was set up by itself without any surrounding context. And under the auspices of a ceremony, an installment ceremony, where there were judges and county commissioners invoking God and the Ten Commandments as ethical principles to live by.
So the difficulty we have, though, is that if we go back to the 1940s, we have an article in which Harry Herzog, granted it's 2 years after adoption, and your brief points it out, but let's bracket that. We have Harry Herzog saying this cross represents Christianity and the people who are the foundation and backbone of this county. So speaking in the present tense back then, and it sounds like it's endorsement of Christianity at the time. Why isn't that enough to put it in the same basket with McCreary?
Well, if we're looking just at the purpose prong test under McCreary and forgetting about Town of Greece, there are five reasons why there's no improper purpose here. The commissioners first started from a blank slate. They said that few of them had any understanding of what the seal was. They asked their county solicitor to do a thorough search. He found the Herzog article in the Historical Society publication, where it has a statement that the cross was honoring the Christians who are the foundation backbone of our country, which at worst is ambiguous from the county's perspective, because once you've you know, whoever founded the country, they are the founders and the backbone of the county for in perpetuity. And so,
but the statement is not the those who founded the county. The statement is that the Canary Cross signifies Christianity and the God-fearing people who are the backbone of the county. In the, that is, in the present sense, the present tense seeming to speak to the Christian population, or that segment of the population of the county.
So there's two readings, right? So putting that, I mean, there's two readings. You could read it that way. You can also read it as the county commissioners did, that this was referring to the settlers, the foundation and the backbone. But setting that aside, in context, second factor, that in, you know, in context of the article, with 12 other symbols being recognized that all reflected important aspects of the county's history and culture, that's a very compelling indication that the purpose of everything on the seal was to recall the history and culture of the society. He also found the Morning Call article, which is at page 87 of the appendix, which said, oh, the county seal is a blend of national, state, and local history. Hardly anybody in the county even knows we have this, but it it is to honor the early settlers, the Christian settlers.
We don't know what year that was first published.
We don't know the year of the article. What we do know is it was incorporated, and this is the fourth point, incorporated into curriculum that several school districts adopted as part of a local history exam with a study that says here are, you know, quizzes, which didn't include the cross, but quizzes of a bunch of these elements and what they mean to the history and significance of the county. So there's no evidence here. And then the commissioner said they had a discussion with the solicitor, a wide-ranging discussion, and that the conclusion they draw from that was that all of the entire seal was designed to reflect the history and culture of the county. So there's no evidence in this case that the commissioners acted with any illicit purpose.
Well, the only thing we have with certainty on this record seems to be the original purpose. And beyond that, some restatements that not clear quite the context, or some were in response to litigation more recently. But to the extent you're asking us to focus, as some of our circuit precedent has, not on original purpose, but on the current purpose of retaining a symbol, don't we have a problem that, unlike Town of Las Cruces, for example, we don't have a record here that reflects anything about the current understanding? I mean, there, for example, there was expert testimony about the meaning and understanding and perception of having the crosses on that seal. Here, you've introduced many pages of extra record material pointing us to history.com websites and other things that we're may or may not be able to take judicial notice of generally, but that weren't even before the district court and therefore didn't have, in terms of their reliability or their authenticity, an opportunity to be challenged.
So I think there's two separate issues here that I would like to address separately. First, the evidence was introduced to support the Town of Greece argument, where the court says you look at historical understanding. And in those cases, these are legislative facts that don't even require judicial notice, let alone a normal review by the district court. An example of that is this court, or the concurrence in the Bindrup decision, looking at the Second Amendment history, the court said you look to legal and other sources that go back and help us understand how this was understood by the public at the time. And so the additional evidence that we've put in goes to those points. That's constitutional evidence, which requires de novo review by this court.
But some of it is not valid, right? I mean, we can't take judicial notice that Newark, New Jersey means Newark of the Covenant, can we?
Again, judicial notice isn't required under Federal Rule of Evidence 201. These are legislative facts.
Well, but how's that a legislative fact?
Well, the court and if the court doesn't agree with the evidence, then it can disregard it. But the in plaintiff's review,
it's not agree or not. I don't know whether I can agree or not to Judge Krause's point, because I don't see a record here where the issue was joined as to whether Newark means Newark of the Covenant or some town in Scotland. You know, we don't know, right?
So the,
I mean, I know the argument I'm making doesn't apply to all of your facts. Certainly, there are a lot of facts that are in the record. But to Judge Krause's point, there's a lot that's been thrown at this appellate court that was never joined before the district court. Isn't that right?
It's correct that it was not introduced into the district court, but in these cases, the courts have held that even if it's not joined, these are matters that are appropriately addressed in briefing by the party. So by putting them in our brief and giving the opposing party an opportunity to address them, that's all that's required. If you look at, for example, the Newdow decision and even in Lynch, the court didn't take evidence about what other historical practices
they just looked and accepted
the practices.
That's a separate issue I wanted to ask you about, because my recollection of Van Orden was that that didn't come to the Supreme Court with this extensive record about, you know, what percentage of people in Austin were offended by it or how long they had noticed it or et cetera, et cetera. The only real facts, as I recall, maybe I'm wrong and you and Mr. Schneider can correct me, but my recollection of Van Orden is that you had some basic facts about the size of the monument, where it was located. There was a map appended to the opinion. I think Justice Breyer's separate opinion,
right.
Things like that. Was there anything else about, you know, public records or opinion polls or how many people liked it or didn't like it or anything like that?
No, these are strictly facts that are based on what's generally available to the courts due to the history or an understanding of, again, legislative facts are available to anyone to look and see what happens.
But here we have the original source, the commissioner's, the designer's statement as to the original purpose. We have that in black and white. I understood your argument to be we should be looking at contemporary purpose, and that is the purpose of retaining it. And if that's where you're focused, what do we have to understand that other than the statements in response to litigation and now arguments, materials that you've put in front of us that are local newspaper articles, a history.com website, where you're trying to, as I understand it, argue about the current perceptions of a reasonable observer with that as the material you're suggesting are legislative facts?
So I think, just to be clear, our the history we put in of other seals was introduced for the purpose of showing that there is a historical practice and understanding under Town of Greece, where the court said once you have a historical practice or understanding that goes back to the founding, that pretty much solves the case, except in extreme cases. The evidence we put in for under the purpose prong of Mercury is evidence that was introduced in the district court. It's the evidence of what the facts that I mentioned, what the solicitor found when the county asked him to go and look. And this court has said in free...
Right. So that's not just the letter that they sent back pending litigation and not just the commissioner's statement. It's also the Morning Call article predates the litigation and the school curriculum predates
right.
it, and they're in the record?
They're in the record. They predate the litigation.
And there's deposition testimony from the plaintiffs.
And there's deposition testimony from... There's definitely testimony from the county of what they did, which shows, and there's also deposition testimony, for example, from the plaintiffs that they, one plaintiff, Barry, said he'd lived in the county for 23 years, saw the seal on a regular basis every other month or so, and on all the vehicles that serviced the building where he works. And in all those years, he never knew about the seal until the lawsuit was filed. And from the reasonable person perspective, at least two of the plaintiffs, when they were told what the cross on the seal, they immediately thought of the Moravians, one of them, and then Plaintiff Winkler thought of the Pennsylvania Dutch. So, which goes to show that it was. I mean, this goes to several issues, but if we're talking about purpose, there's clear evidence. The court gives deference to the legislatures. In Freethought and Madrovich, the court said, we give deference once they've articulated a legitimate secular purpose. We will accept that unless the plaintiff can show that there's a sham. And And we look at the present evidence, not the past evidence. The court says if the only time...
Do Freethought and Modrovich still have any currency in light of Van Orden? They were both decided shortly before Van Orden.
Well, both cases really anticipated Van Orden. They said, you know, we're going
to... But they didn't in this way. They didn't apply history and tradition independent of the Lemon test, right? As I recall, there was a lot of discussion in Freethought and Modrovich about Lemon and endorsement, right?
The court spoke in terms of Lemon and the endorsement test, but it said, just like in Van Orden, it said, we're going to look at context. It said, the Ten Commandments are religious. They have not lost their religious meaning over time, unlike God Save This Honorable Court. I think that was the example the court used. It's a religious text. It's been around for a long time, and in the surrounding context, nobody is going to think that this is an effort to impose Christianity. And that's the exact same thing that Van Orden said. So if you're looking at the purpose prong, I just want to emphasize that there's almost no court, I can't think of courts in contexts like this that have found an improper purpose. You have in Weinbaum, in the Rolling Meadows case, which is part of the City of Zion case, the King case that this court relied upon in Freethought, which was a seal with a Bible and a sword. In all of those cases, the court said the fact that the county wanted something to identify its property was a sufficient purpose that gets past the purpose prong.
When it comes to seals that have crosses on them, except for City of Austin and in Las Cruces, every other seal in this nature has been struck down as under Lemon endorsement, some variant of those. You've asked us to consider Town of Greece and the focus on historical understandings from Justice Kennedy's writing. But Justice Kennedy in Allegheny made the comparison to a situation of having a large cross erected behind the courthouse. That's exactly what we have on this seal. And he then did a citation to the Tenth Circuit en banc decision in Friedman, where the Tenth Circuit struck down a seal with a cross that had the prominence and centrality that's in many ways similar to the cross here. Why doesn't all of that indicate that even applying the historical test, that which Justice Kennedy would endorse, that the result the Tenth Circuit reached in Friedman should be persuasive to us here?
So Justice Kennedy, and it's an excellent question, Justice Kennedy's example basically said coercion has to be the touchstone. That's always direct coercion. He says sometimes in extreme cases that can be indirect coercion where there's a symbolic use of religion, for example. And he says in a CF citation, he gives a nod to things like a cross on top of a Capitol building and goes on to say these have to be extremely unusually rare cases where there's an extreme use of religious speech that were such that an establishment is actually threatened. So if you think about what an extreme inherently means, that it's rare, that the cross example is a cross that's all alone. There's not a pattern or a history of crosses on top of our government buildings. And there's no surrounding context that would tell you that there's some other meaning for this. And the site to Friedman or Bernalillo County in that case was a seal with sun rays coming out of it, overlooking a flock of sheep that says, con este vencemos, or with this we conquer. Again, no surrounding context, no history that would suggest that this was anything other than what Justice Kennedy referred to as an effort to proselytize. That's a stark contrast with what we have here, where the undisputed evidence is that there is a seal that's immediately surrounded with a cross on it, immediately surrounded by 12 or 13 other images that all reflect the history and culture of the county. That's even a stronger case than Van Orden, where you had a text, which the court said is religious, is not just a religious invocation, but a command to do religious things. And the context the court looked at was 17 acres. and said over 17 acres, there are other monuments that would allow the reasonable observer, even though you can't see it from this monument. And then the fact that this has been 40 years is the decisive issue, that this is for 40 years has existed without controversy. So in the same context, that is the case that applies here.
It's not just the presence of other symbols. What the court has looked at is the prominence of the sectarian symbol, the nature of that sectarian symbol in relation to the others. And so in Allegheny, for example, where there was the site the crest was the central site in the courthouse, it's surrounded by poinsettias. The court looked to that as, in fact, highlighting the centrality of it and feeding into what the Borrelia concluded was a violation. Here, when we look at the prominence, the size, the centrality, why isn't the message that comes from the seal that all of these other aspects of life in the county are focused on the centrality of the cross signifying Christianity?
So I think two responses, and again going to Justice Kennedy's example, he specifically said, he would have upheld the crash because of all the context that surrounded it, as opposed to the cross on top of the building, because he said in context people would have understood. As far as prominence, this court, for example, in the Schindler 2 case said, we're not going to get caught up in the measuring the different sizes of the elements of the Christmas display. That's not dispositive. What's more important is, does this actually have the effect of leading to an establishment? And again, Justice Kennedy saying, it trivializes constitutional adjudication of these issues to suggest that it's up to judges to pull out a tape measure and decide which element is the biggest. In the context of the seal, it's immediately surrounded by reminders of the history and culture of the county, which overwhelmingly suggests that that's the purpose of the entire seal. And so for those reasons, because the seal is in the context of history, has existed for 70 years, without any controversy, and is consistent with historical practices and understandings, we would ask the court to reverse the district.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Baxter. We'll hear from Mr. Schneider now. Mr. Schneider, could I ask you to begin as I did Mr. Baxter? I assume you disagree that this is a Town of Greece case, but it seems to be pretty close to a Van Orden or a McCreary case. And do you agree with that? If not, tell us why. And if you do, tell us whether it's more like McCreary or more like Van Orden.
Sure, Your Honor.
One of them comes out your way and the other comes out the other way.
Sure. And may it please the court, Mark Schneider on behalf of the plaintiffs' appellees. First, I guess on the question of McCreary and Van Orden, I think it's not necessarily the case that those cases are at odds with one another. I think I would say this case is more like McCreary on the purpose side. Van Orden didn't really consider purpose. And it's more like Lynch and the prior Lemon cases than it is Van Orden, because it's not what Justice Breyer described in his controlling concurrence as a borderline case. So I guess I'll take the Van Orden case in two parts. First, to factually distinguish it. And second would be to note that even if Van Orden has some influence on what the court does in this case, this court's application of Lemon in prior cases sufficiently addresses the concerns and the factors that Justice Breyer looked to in Van Orden. But factually distinguishing the cases first, Van Orden involved a privately donated Ten Commandments monument set in a museum-like setting on Capitol grounds. This case involves a Latin cross, a government-adopted seal, and the presence of that seal ubiquitously throughout the community. So it was important to Justice Breyer that the display at issue in Van Orden was a Ten Commandments monument. He specifically noted that the Ten Commandments has a dual history of sorts in our country as a secular symbol as well as a religious symbol. There's no such history of the Latin cross having any sort of dual history. In addition to the specific characteristics of the Ten Commandments monument, Justice Breyer found that the context and setting of the monument in Van Orden was, again, sort of a borderline case. It was a tough call. And here we have the symbol of the county, which makes it much more readily understood to be a message that the county is seeking to convey to people that view the display. So Justice Breyer's focus on the risk of hostility in Van Orden is not really implicated in a case as egregious as this case in terms of the Establishment Clause violation.
How do you say it's so egregious when 70 years without complaint? That seems inconsistent with egregiousness. Some of the testimony from the very your clients in this case.
Well,
I mean, is it egregious that it made them think of the Moravians or the Pennsylvania Dutch? Or I mean, that seems to play right into the hands of Mr. Baxter's argument that this is not some sort of uniquely powerful representation of a county's religiosity, but rather a recognition of one religion's influence and impact in the history of that county.
Well, I think the features of this display that make it an egregious case are that it involves the Latin cross, which consistently by appellate courts has been treated as a singularly Christian symbol, as a representation of the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Recently, the Fourth Circuit in the Bladensburg cross case, American Humanist Association versus Maryland Parks Commission, confronted the issue of the cross and collected cases from around the country, the various appellate courts.
That was a freestanding cross, though.
It was. Right?
It's not surrounded by any of the trappings we see on this seal.
Sure. Well, just to get back to Your Honor's question. So I want to make sure I touch upon the reference to the plaintiff's testimony, because I think it's quite inaccurate with respect to Plaintiff Berry. This is page 223 of the appendix, and I don't want to take up the court's time reading a lengthy transcript, but the bottom line is Mr. Berry was asked if he at some point after this dispute arose came to understand that the county had asserted a position as to what the seal, the cross on the seal meant in this case. And he went on to say, yes, I came to understand that, something to do with the history, which I think is kind of bogus. Because he said, I understand the Moravians were a religion of religious tolerance, and I don't think this is in any way something that the Moravians would support. So I think it's a mischaracterization to suggest that Mr. Berry, a long-time resident of the county, had concluded that this was a benign display up until the point of this case.
I think Winkler and Mahalik specifically say that it was their understanding was to honor the Christians who settled in the Lehigh Valley. So your plaintiffs have slightly different theories on this, but some of them are consistent with what Mr. Baxter is saying.
I think Plaintiff Winkler speculated about, you know, what she saw when she's a more recent resident of the county, and she speculated about, you know, the conclusion she drew as to what the display meant. But in addition to the fact that it involves the Latin cross, we have a history and context here. And this gets back to sort of the Lemon application. And again, we believe the Lemon endorsement, this court's Lemon endorsement framework applies. The history and context here involves a widely displayed seal. The cross on the seal is the most prominent feature. And significantly, we have the designer of the seal making public comment about the purpose for including the cross on the seal. We're not attempting to divine the intent of the designer. We have that. That is part of the history.
Look at Freethought and Modrovich. Okay, in Freethought, we have a ceremony in 1920. It's been donated by a Protestant organization. We have a judge standing up saying, "You better obey the Sabbath laws, or else you're going to face damnation." I mean, that's more sectarian than what we have here. So, if we're going to impugn. You want to impugn things based on the earlier purpose, but Freethought and Modrovich tells pretty strongly, to the extent there's still good law, that we're supposed to be looking mostly at what the purpose is today, and what was back then can inform that. But I think that's what Judge Cross's question was driving at, not that the article on its own makes it sectarian, but how does today's purpose cast, is it informed by what we know from back then? And what we knew from those two cases was pretty sectarian back then. But it seems to have been, over time, acquired this historical patina. And so now we're in historical preservation land. It doesn't look the same as if we were in 1944 in Lehigh County or 1920 for the Chester County Courthouse in those cases.
Well, with respect to the modern purpose, I mean, I'd say two things. One, the district court, consistent with what the Seventh Circuit has said in the seal cases, the dual seal cases that it handled in the City of Zion case, that even the county's stated modern, contemporary, present-day purpose of honoring the Christian settlers, even if for a moment we accept that as a non-sham reason for maintaining the seal, that still violates the Establishment Clause. The problem is what is used to allegedly reference the settlers of the community is a blatantly sectarian symbol that has no real connection to the settlers. I mean, there's nothing to suggest.
The commandments plaque is sectarian.
Well, but again, the commandments plaque, as Justice Breyer mentioned in Van Orden, has a dual history of secular connection to lawmaking in our country.
It's got text, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." That seems like it's much more blatantly religious. I mean, the cross is a religious symbol. You can't hide, and I don't understand the appellants to be running away from it, but we got text there that appears to be religious instruction from on high. It has this dual purpose, but one of them is very openly religious.
And I would agree with you, Your Honor. However, the Supreme Court has come down on that differently, noting specifically that the Ten Commandments has this dual history. The Fourth Circuit in the Bladensburg Cross case I referenced recently, that was decided last fall, said the same thing, contrasted the Latin cross, albeit a standalone cross, but the Latin cross as a symbol with the Ten Commandments, with ceremonial deism references, similar to my opponent referenced in his argument, in saying that the Latin cross is a purely secular symbol that has no connection to our country's history of any kind.
Purely sectarian. But there are a lot of purely sectarian symbols that are historic, right? The flag of the Virgin Islands?
Your Honor, I can't say I'm specifically familiar with the Virgin Islands flag.
Well, it's in the briefing.
How about St.
John, St. Thomas, St. Croix? That's rather sectarian, right?
Well, the names, Your Honor?
Yeah.
Sure. I think
so. If I'm someone who is opposed to government entanglement with religion and I live on any of the Virgin Islands, I'm going to be pretty upset every time I post a letter, right? Because I've got to write things like Christianstead, St. Croix. I mean, that's going to really offend me and bother me if I think that religion should be extirpated from public life, right?
Well, I mean, Lemon tells us that these cases turn on their facts. There is no unique history in this case that I would imagine is present in cases like Las Cruces, like Judge Krause mentioned, where there is a unique history connecting that name in Las Cruces to the symbol, in the examples Your Honor is giving to the name of the city. We don't have that here. There's no unique history here to suggest.
But why isn't it the case that when we consider our own precedent and we consider Justice Breyer's controlling concurrence in Van Orden, that what we're really looking at in considering things like whether there has been any objection over the course of the past many decades, that we're looking at an evolution of the meaning or significance from whatever its original even stated purpose was. And that can be what tilts the scale from something that would violate Lemon or endorsement test or an indirect coercion sort of test to the other side of the scale, where we have instead something that has taken on, like Las Cruces or City of Austin, historical meaning for that particular county.
Sure. Well, I guess first, there isn't evidence in this record to suggest that has happened here. It's just been counsel's arguments. But to respond to the question, this is a meaningfully different case because this seal has not remained on the wall of a courthouse for 82 years. This seal has been displayed more widely over the years. So one of the key elements in the Modrovich opinions, or I'm sorry, the Freethought opinion, in looking at the endorsement was that the there had been no effort to celebrate the plaque over the years. This is different than that because this seal is being displayed widely throughout the community now. It's on vehicles that obviously did not exist when the seal was adopted. It's on the website. And so getting back to Judge Krause's reference to Justice Kennedy's concurrence in Allegheny and the reference to the extreme case of the Latin cross on City Hall, that really is exactly what we have here. And in fact, the shadow cast by this seal is much larger than the shadow cast by a single cross on City Hall. Being on the county website, this...
Tell them we're busy.
I'm not phoning a friend.
you're doing quite well. I've only been here 10 years, but I've never had this happen before. So. Lock.
We'll give
this the caller is not going to eat into your time. Yeah, can you turn off the speakers
entirely?
All right.
Counsel?
Okay.
So earlier you referred to the...
I'm going to ask Ms. Fidler to put the 8 minutes on the clock. I mean, go to 8 minutes. Go to 8 minutes. Up to 8 minutes.
Counsel, so you referred earlier to the not a sham test, which the Supreme Court's instructed us to look at here. Even if there's a religious purpose, as long as there's a secular purpose, it's not a sham, low bar. You won on summary judgment here. How is it that you can say as a matter of law, based on this record, that there... any secular purpose here, historical purpose, settlers in light of the whole seal and all the other things there, everything else is just a sham?
Well, it's precisely because of the testimony given by the county in this case. I mean, it's a pretty unique record. In deposition with the county representative, the question was asked, what documents has the county relied upon in formulating the opinion different from what's stated in Mr. Herzog's article, that the purpose of this Latin cross is to represent the Christian settlers of the community. Testimony was the only document was Mr. Herzog's comments.
That wasn't the testimony. That was the primary thing, but there was reference to the Lehigh County, the school curriculum and the binder and the morning call article that was in that binder.
Your Honor, it's pages 263 to 269 of the appendix where this topic is covered with the corporate representative for the county. And repeatedly he affirmed that the only, again, this is his testimony, counsel has made arguments introducing these other documents as factors in the case. Those documents were not pointed to in the summary judgment briefings before the district court. So it's the unique testimony of the county here citing a historic document that says something different than the position being taken today that leads us to make the sham argument.
Okay, but I'm looking at appendix. You cited a page range, and page 264 to 65 have references to the Lehigh County Activities Notebook that included, and the Lehigh Proceedings of Lehigh County Historical Society, but Lehigh County Activities Notebook included the App 87 newspaper article.
Yes, I presented, I presented those documents to confirm that the testimony on the record was the only document relied upon by the county was Mr. Herzog's statement.
Can you point me to that? Where is that? It says it's the only one that was relied on. I see the primary one relied on was the historical article. There's one document that stands out, page 263, but then there's discussion of the historical the activities notebook after that.
So, Your Honor, if you look at appendix 267, question, okay, that's fair.
So we're at line 8, right?
Yes, I'm sorry, line 8. So can you tell me, other than exhibit 9, this is Mr. Herzog's statements, were there any other sources of information that the board relied upon in processing the information in that way in reaching the conclusion that was conveyed in the letter that was ultimately sent? As far as documents, written documents, no. So the preceding reference to those other documents was specifically to confirm the county's position that the only document relied upon was Mr. Herzog's statement. And so that's what's led us to present a sham argument. Understandably, there's some degree of deference given to the government and their stated purpose, present-day purpose. But where the document referred to support that argument says something entirely different, we think that that presents a sham case. And
I thought Judge Krause's argument was that the meanings of these things evolve over time, and your argument seems to be if the current meaning doesn't mirror the meaning then, that it must be a sham, and that seems to be inconsistent with her understanding that we have to look now through the lens of history, and that the historical understanding can be different.
I'm referring only to consideration of the present-day purpose. And the problem with the present-day purpose, the county...
They're arguing the present-day purpose is exclusively religious?
We're arguing, even if accepted as a non-sham reason, the present-day purpose is religious because of it uses a blatantly sectarian symbol. There is nothing to suggest in the record.
Well, that gets back to whether the seal is strictly Christian or partly Christian and partly historical, right? And your argument, as I understand it, is the cross is so prominent, it's the central figure, that the other things around it don't matter.
They certainly don't overwhelm the meaning of the cross. And again, the fact that this is on a seal is important in considering that meaning. As the Seventh and Tenth Circuits have held in the seal cases that they addressed, the government seal has a unique way of linking the government with any message conveyed by the seal. It's a year-round display, and this was sort of what was the undergirding of Justice Kennedy's concurrence in Allegheny, where he talked about the Latin cross on City Hall, was the year-long presence of the symbol. And so that cuts against any argument that this cross has somehow lost meaning over the years because of its prominence and the connection between the government and the meaning. Contrast that with...
The Supreme Court has also recognized that in the context of other symbols, for example, around holiday displays, that they then can speak to a broader theme on their holidays. Here, given the other symbols, why not a broader theme of history? These things are all part of the history of our county.
Right, and that's again, gets back to the problem of there being a lack of anything in the record to support that meaning. The cross stands alone as a religious symbol, and that is what Commissioner Herzog says he intended it to be. It doesn't fit with a theme as described by him. The reasonable observer looking at the seal doesn't see it as part of the theme because it's a purely sectarian symbol. There's no...
It all depends on what you're focusing on here, because my colleague was talking about Van Orden, the Ten Commandments, in the light of 17 acres of other displays. But in Lynch and Donnelly, you have the poinsettias, you have Rudolph, you have Santa Claus. Well, here we've got bison. They're not objects of worship. We have cement factories. We have the Liberty Bell. That's a historical thing that happened during the Revolutionary War. So I don't see how you can say it's exclusively one thing or the other. It's surrounded by all these others. You've got a point. It's the largest one, and it's in the center, and those are good points. But that doesn't make it the same as the exclusive, the cross that's directly over the doorway of the courthouse and there's nothing else there. It's a more complicated contextual analysis like the one the court did in Lynch versus Donnelly.
Well, in the Seventh Circuit, the closest of the few seal cases that there are is the City of Zion case. And the Seventh Circuit dealt with, and I say it's most similar because there was an original purpose that was problematic there, despite a modern present-day purpose at the time, sort of recasting that purpose. And in addressing the issue of whether the cross had been secularized, and that seal was, this cross was less prominent than the cross here. The Seventh Circuit said that with such explicit religious design behind the seal's original adoption in 1902, something more than a perfunctory appeal to history is required to legitimize the underlying purpose of the particular seal. The argument proceeded that the seal represented a unique religious history in the City of Zion. The record doesn't support a unique history in this case, but the Seventh Circuit, despite that history, said, nevertheless, despite that history, the city may not honor its history by retaining a blatantly sectarian seal. These symbols transcend mere commemoration and effectively endorse or promote the Christian faith. And so I go back to the cross not having any connection to the settlers of Lehigh County. A Conestoga wagon might better represent settlers. The settlers were probably a lot of things, maybe among them Christian. But if the county's goal is to commemorate the settlers of Lehigh County, which there's nothing in the record until now to suggest was the goal, but if that is the goal, the county does not have to use a blatantly sectarian symbol to do so.
So what if we were using a coercion test? What if we were using a test that was focused exclusively on history and coercion as your colleague has argued now applies after Town of Greece?
Mm-hmm. Well, again, I would go back to Justice Kennedy's concurrence in Allegheny, that the example of the cross on Town Hall was used in a coercion context. And so it is clear that there can be coercion. Coercion doesn't require forcing someone to recite a prayer or funding of a church. Coercion can be a more passive form of coercion. And in this case, we have this seal featuring the Latin cross throughout the county on key government buildings, the government center, the courthouse, the public meeting room in the government center, the county flag.
All right, so Lee versus Weissman and some other cases find coercion in the school context. Can you cite any non-school cases that find coercion based on symbols?
No Supreme Court majority opinions, Your Honor, but I would refer to Justice Kennedy's concurrence in Allegheny.
Any circuits that have found coercion based on a seal, a flag, a symbol, something like that? I'm not talking about Barnett Fair type cases.
No, Your Honor, but there's a reason why, and that is that appellate courts have consistently used the Lemon framework for addressing Latin crosses.
But they said an alternative, it would be coercion.
Right, because the Lemon framework, as this court understands it, as other appellate courts understand it, doesn't feature a coercion analysis. And every case that's confronted a seal has used Lemon, and consistently courts confronting Latin cross cases have used Lemon. That includes cases after Town of Greece, the Fourth Circuit Bladensburg cross case, the Second Circuit American Atheist case involving the 9/11 cross. With that in mind, I think that is why there's an absence of that. I think the appropriate test is Lemon endorsement. And because we feature in this case a Latin cross on a government seal with a compelling original purpose to suggest a desire to promote Christianity, this case doesn't implicate whatever uncertainty reasonable minds might find to exist on the fringes of Establishment Clause jurisprudence. This is a pretty cut and dry case. This is the extreme case as highlighted by Justice Kennedy. And the Establishment Clause protects this sort against this sort of sectarian endorsement. It protects the rights of all members of a community to be equal members of that community. Lehigh County has effectively held itself out as a Christian community for 74 years now. And each year that that continues actually enhances the message of Christian endorsement. And so because this seal presents a message of exclusion by promoting only one religion, the Christian religion, we would ask that the court affirm the district court and enjoin the continued use of the seal.
Thank you, Mr. Schneider. We'll hear Mr. Baxter's rebuttal.
Baxter, could you start out addressing the issue that's prominent in your adversary's argument on the ubiquity of the symbol here, that this makes it arguably different than a passive monument, an immobile display, as the Tenth Circuit was describing, that this is it is everywhere, part of the life of the citizens, because it's showing up on vehicles, on correspondence, on websites, and thus reflects the identity of the county in a way that's different than a unitary and immobile display.
So in Weinbaum, in the Tenth Circuit, the court said exactly the opposite. The fact that the seal was being used to mark all government property reinforced the idea that there was no purpose except to identify government property. And so you have in Murray, in Weinbaum, in King, all of those cases, the court saying the use of the seal for legitimate purposes does nothing to highlight the religious element of it. It just highlights the seal itself. And so when counsel talks about, there's been effort to highlight or whatever, there's been no effort to celebrate or highlight the cross on the seal especially. There's really not even been any effort to highlight the seal itself, but you have to look at the seal as a whole, you have to look at whether the county's made any effort to highlight the cross itself, which there's no evidence of that in the record. I'd like to hit the points on sham, where, first of all, it's a very high bar. This court has never held on facts like this that there's an improper purpose. And if you look at Free Thought and Majovich, the facts were much more egregious there, where you had the plaques were explicitly provided to the counties for purposes of introduction of religious principles, one by a missionary society, one by the Religious Education Council. And you had in Majovich, for example, a judge who told the defendant, go out and read the Ten Commandments and follow them. You had a commissioner who had said, these are principles that we all agree on. In neither of those cases did the court disregard the later purpose of the county to preserve the history.
And so that's another way of saying the proper question isn't to ask whether at the time the display was put up it was constitutional, but rather whether the decision not to take it down.
Correct, and that's what this court said.
Is unconstitutional.
That's what this court said in Free Thought, and here we, unless they can show a sham, which is their burden, the court has never found sham without affirmative evidence by the plaintiffs. And here, for example, the existence of the article in the newspaper, the existence of the curriculum, showing that other people before the county had even raised this issue were seeing this as a historical item, shows that it was not a sham for the county to adopt something. I'd like to also the Osborne testimony. Osborne was specifically asked, "Did you see any other document?" And he says, no other document. But then he goes on to say, we had a wide-ranging conversation. We had our counsel, Sorrentino, came in. He talked about everything he found in his search. And that is what we relied upon.
You're referring to the executive session.
Sorrentino
discussion.
Is the solicitor who did the search and who produced the documents that he had relied upon, which are those in the record at 80 through 87. And those, so there's clear testimony here that the county acted reasonably to search the history and try to understand what the seal was, and there's no conflicting evidence.
What is there about its current understanding besides a single newspaper article that's then incorporated into the school curricula?
Well, the Historical Society statement itself lists all of these 13 items clearly in the context of saying these are all things that are important to our history and culture, and so it was perfectly reasonable for the newspaper, for the school districts, and for the county commissioners to draw the same conclusion. And as far as, this being an overtly sectarian symbol, that's inconsistent with Free Thought, which recognized that the Ten Commandments were explicitly religious, with Van Orden, which recognized the same.
And it doesn't mean it's not sectarian. It means it's sectarian but allowed.
That's correct. Right? And so, okay. And really, you know, and this is true under both Town of Greece and Van Orden, but the point is here that there, the government has some freedom to decide how it's going to speak about its history. This is not even a case where the government is saying, you know, inviting people, like, you know, celebrate Christmas or to engage in a day of prayer. They're just saying, here's a historical statement. So you look at the cross in the Second Circuit. That was a cross, the 9/11 cross. The government said, even though it applied Lemon, it said under historical understanding, recognizing history, which you can't do. The court explicitly said you can't recognize history without invoking religion, because religion is part of history and culture. And so it's okay to have symbols that are religious, to recognize people who are religious, to honor the contributions they've made to society without violating the Establishment Clause. And the government speech, the government is protected within a certain realm to make those decisions. It doesn't have to use a least sectarian standard, which is the language Kennedy uses in his Allegheny dissent. There's no least sectarian standard. And finally, just that there's no unique history in this case. There is a history set forth that the county relied upon, the settlers who came to Pennsylvania as religious communities seeking religious freedom. And so for those reasons, and because the seal has existed for 70 years without controversy and is clearly in historical context, we would ask this court to reverse the district court's ruling.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Baxter. Thank you, Mr. Schneider. The court appreciates the argument. We apologize for the interruption. Very impressive command of the case law by both advocates. So you've been very helpful to the court. We'll take the matter.